The Democratic Party of Wisconsin has a new leader. At last week's state convention, members elected Devin Remiker as chair of the party after he previously served as the party's political director, and he joins us now. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So Ben Wickler is a name that a lot of people recognize from Democratic politics. He was the chair of the party the last 6 years, oversaw a lot of very successful elections. What will change? What will be different from in the transition from Ben to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think we have a fantastic opportunity to be able to build on the success that Ben Wickler has laid down and what he built on the successes of Chair Martha Lanning before him. We have a fantastic year-round organizing program. We have a robust donor strategy for large, medium, small donors across this country. And we also have an opportunity to do more in 2026. So I'm really excited to get to work expanding our 72-county strategy to make sure that we have robust infrastructure in every corner of the state, above and beyond just organizing and knocking on doors, improving our messaging and communications with localized messaging in each and every community in the state to make sure that we can authentically connect with voters, and keep our eye on the prize with the chance for a trifecta next year.
So we've seen party chairs in the past keep a lower profile in the public sphere, and obviously Ben became the face of a party in a lot of ways. What's your style?
Well, I think that we have a really unique opportunity to change the way that we communicate and to reach voters in places that we haven't been able to before. One thing I'm really excited about coming into this role, obviously as a 32-year-old, I'm a little bit younger than a lot of folks may otherwise be in politics, and I think that that can give me an opportunity to connect, particularly with younger voters that our party's had some difficulty with in the last election, to be able to reach them in authentic, engaging ways. In addition to all the traditional media that Ben has done before, I'm also really excited to partner with First Vice Chair, Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, to also maintain a lot of the communications work that we've done. And I think that we're gonna get out the gate pretty strong.
So you mentioned your donor network, and the Democratic Party has certainly outpaced the Republicans in Wisconsin. And one of the things that Wickler seemed to excel at was convincing people from around the country that they should invest in Wisconsin politics, even at the local level. Mm-hmm. How do you keep convincing them that Wisconsin Assembly and State Senate races are worth someone's attention elsewhere?
Absolutely. So I think that there is a there's two reasons people give to the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. One, obviously, is because we're a very important state, and every election can have big implications for the state and for the nation when it comes to our presidential elections. But at the same time, it's also because they trust what we do at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Donors have grown to really believe in the team, our work, our effectiveness and our efficiency. And I think as someone who was part of building that operation, it really helps me be able to sort of continue to maintain and then build trust with additional folks around this country. We have one of the largest monthly giving programs in the nation amongst Democratic campaign committees. And that is also just built on trust. It's not taking small dollar grassroots donations for granted, and instead making sure that we don't engage in harmful practices like selling their information to other campaign committees. I think everyone's had the experience of you sign up for a political list and then you get all of a sudden, you know, text from a congressional candidate in some far-flung state. We don't do that at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And I think treating people with respect, making sure that we're earning their dollar, not taking it for granted, and putting it to the most effective use possible is behind our success and something I think I am primed to be able to continue. My calls with donors have been going really well this week. I think they're excited to continue to engage and figure out how they can support our efforts to win the trifecta next year.
So national polling shows the image of Democrats is not great right now in the Trump era. Do you expect that to change due to national events, or is that something that you have to change yourself?
Well, I don't think we should take for granted that, you know, someone's going to come over the hill as cavalry and be able to change what we're doing here in Wisconsin. I think we have to build the plan to win and advance our candidates here in the state ourselves. And we can, if we can get help with that, that is fantastic. But at the end of the day, I think that we have had a very distinct sort of set of outcomes in Wisconsin that is different than national Democrats across the country. I mean, in 2024, not many people would have put money on Wisconsin being the closest out of all the battleground states to the left of Michigan and Pennsylvania, even when that just hasn't been the case in 2020 or 2022. So I think that the way that we've done that is by making sure that we are supporting our candidates year round, every spring, special, fall election, connecting with folks authentically on the issues that they care most about. And really what I'm trying to do is just take that work to the next level and build the plan that we need here.
Now, you've mentioned Wisconsin being to the left of Michigan and some of those other traditional blue wall states. Sure. Over the last 15 years, we've seen a political realignment with rural working class voters shifting more towards Donald Trump and the Republican Party, and Democrats doing better in suburban areas with college educated voters. There are people that think the Wisconsin is actually more ripe for Republicans to do well because there are more traditional Democratic voters that have not swung to the Republican Party, and that is why Wisconsin is still to the left to a slight degree. What do you do to keep those voters? You talked about your youth. How do you connect with some of those people that are coming up that may be disengaged from that party?
Absolutely. Well, I think that my background also helps a lot. I was born in Two Rivers, Wisconsin, and I think that the story of Two Rivers and neighboring Manitowoc mirrors a lot of communities around this state. There was a factory in Two Rivers named Hamilton's. They closed up in the mid to late 2000s, and the jobs went to Mexico to a new factory there, which then promptly got overrun by a drug cartel. But what happened was thousands. I think at its peak, it employed 3,000 people in the city, and I think when it left, around 800. These were good-paying union jobs with great benefits. It was hollowed out, and all that was left was basically an empty lot of land contaminated with chemicals that are basically stuck in the ground and they're trying to mitigate right now. And it kind of ripped the heart out of this community, right? And this was a community that took pride in being working class, in making something. And once that was gone, it really lost a little sense of soul. And I think that you see that all over the state. And I think that that is something that Democrats haven't been as effective in speaking to, is that sort of lost sense of self and identity to working class voters. And I think that is where Republicans have had some success filling that void. So something I want to do is just be more attentive and attuned, because it's my lived experience of how to connect with people and talk about a positive, optimistic vision of the future that they can actually connect with, and speaks to sort of that identity as working class people that want to work hard and earn a fair wage and don't necessarily just want to be given something.
You've mentioned a couple times about the possibility of a trifecta of Democrats winning control of the legislature in 26. How closely are you watching those GOP potential targets, especially as they're struggling to pass a budget right now?
Incredibly closely. And I think that they are making a grave mistake by not coming to the table and finishing out the budget process with Governor Reivers. Candidly, they're also fighting with themselves at this moment in time, which I don't think is good for their party in the long term. But you have folks like Howard Markline, who didn't even bother to consider the fact that Medicaid cuts could be coming from the federal government when they originally were thinking about this budget. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's hard to take that seriously. And I think that we're going to be very aggressive in making sure that voters this summer know about what their representatives and senators are doing, or rather not doing. I mean, they need to get back to work, negotiate with the governor, and get a deal done to move the state forward.
Obviously, there was a political and a national tragedy in Minnesota with the shooting of legislators there. Absolutely. Does that impact your ability to recruit candidates, especially since there were Wisconsin Democratic names on the list of the shooter?
Yeah, well, we haven't seen any impact as to this point in time, but I think that, you know, for myself personally and many people, it was a terrifying moment, you know, and I'm glad that we could sort of put politics aside and as human beings see Democrats and Republicans put out a strong statement condemning that. Obviously, it happened during our convention weekend, and, you know, one of the first conversations I had with my wife after being elected chair was about, do we need to adjust our own sort of security measures or precautions? Is this something we need to worry about? And I don't think anybody in politics should have to worry about their livelihood be taken away from them. Although I won't get any details of, you know, procedures or anything like that, I do think we need to find ways to take down the temperature and the rhetoric a little bit, which is also why I'm so disappointed to see Representative Derek Van Orden, right after sort of making his performative statement, just lean right back into vitriol and conspiracy theories, as he has throughout a lot of his tenure in office. I think he might be, you know, a little bit scared about his own prospects for re-election and lashing out a little bit because of that. But I think that sort of behavior is exactly what we need less of in politics. And from my experience working for Congressman Ron Kind for 4 years, something that voters in Western Wisconsin really don't respond well to.
All right. Devin Remicker, thanks for your time.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
All right.